a couple of new faces in the house, and unfortunately, or I don't know, maybe fortunately, you guys missed the first two parts of our three-part series in Ecclesiastes. Reason why I say maybe fortunately is because it's a series that can kind of maybe get you thinking a little bit deeply about life, a little bit, you know, kind of just in that dark place sometimes. We're just looking a little bit at life too seriously, and just everything's just a little bit, you know, too much to bear and too much to cope with. There's this amazing song that I love. I love this band called 21 Pilots. Some of you might know them. And they have this one song that's actually got quite a bit of rap in it, and it's called Car Radio. And the premise of the song is that, you know, someone stole this guy's car radio, and now when he drives around, instead of being able to just zone out and put on a bit of Lady Gaga or a bit of Drake or whatever, he now has to sit with his thoughts because somebody stole his car radio, and now he just sits in silence, and he talks about in that song how his mind goes to dark places, and because he's just thinking about his life and his purpose and where's he going and what's it all about, and is there a God, is there not a God, if there is a God, what should I be doing to be living? And that's the kind of place that Ecclesiastes takes you to. It asks these questions about life. How can we understand it? What's it all about? It goes to some pretty dark places. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember the first one, but the first one had statements in there about, like, everybody dies, so, you know, just enjoy your life because it's short and then you're going to die. And it had some really, like, some hectic statements in it. But I hope that today we can bring it all full circle. And this morning, I'd like to talk with you about the complexity of purpose. The complexity of purpose. That's the title of my message this morning as I bring the Word of God. You know, the meaning of life or the purpose of life, it's a question that all of us consider, and the world spends so much time and has so many philosophical books about what is the meaning, what is the purpose of this life. You know, people have wrestled with this question for thousands of years. So we're going to explore some of the complex ways that people use to try and, you know, calm that nagging voice in the back of your mind that's like, there's something more, you got to be doing something more significant than what you're involved in right now. And you know, that feeling that you have of like, there's got to be more to life than this. You know, is this life all there is, or can you find meaning and purpose in it? So with that all in mind, let's pray as we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God this morning. Father God, as we explore some of the things that this world maintains as important and meaningful, help us to see that the only things of true value, importance, and purpose are the things of God, the things of you. Give us hearts that hunger to know you in a deeper way. Help us find our identity, meaning, and worth from above and not from this world. We turn our eyes to you this morning, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with the Word of God. There's going to be, usually when I prepare a sermon, there's like one major passage, and then we like break it down. But today is a little bit different. I've got lots of little snippets, little passages throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not a long book. It's only about 12 chapters. I do encourage you, after we've finished going through this, it might be a good idea for you just to have a brief flick through the whole book of Ecclesiastes. It's not a long read. And now that we've been through three parts of this book, it'll kind of make more sense to you and not seem so dark, I think. For those of you who did miss it, c3w.com.au, you can go to the podcast tab or the messages, and you can listen to the recordings there if you did miss them. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 2, 1 to 11, that's where we'll be starting this morning. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Now, in the first part, the first message, it was titled, Everything is Smoke. And that word there that says everything proved to be meaningless, that's a Hebrew word called hevel. And hevel means smoke, it means meaninglessness, it means futility, it means vanity, it means things that are pointless, things that are hard to grasp. But the whole idea there is that whenever you see that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it occurs over 38 times when it says everything proved to be meaningless or a chasing of the wind. The Hebrew word is hevel, and what that word is it means smoke. And the whole idea behind that is that life can sometimes, just when you feel like you can see the smoke and you feel like you can grasp it, you try and grasp it and your hand goes through it and it changes. Or just when life is starting to like come up in front of you and you feel like, oh yeah, I've got this, then it just gets blown away. And it's kind of, that's the kind of idea that Ecclesiastes has, is like we're trying to search for wisdom, we're trying to search for meaning on this world apart from God. But then if you try and find meaning apart from God, you'll find that this life actually has no meaning, because true meaning and purpose comes from God. And that's what we're exploring today. So verse 2, sorry, I've got to get through the word and I'm already preaching, sorry. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine. See, if you've, that's biblical. Now you can go and cheer yourself with, no, I'm just kidding, bad Barry. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. So let's check what happened when he did that. My mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. So he's like, if this is all there is, YOLO, let's enjoy a bit of wine. Anyway, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Wow, talk about bragging. Anyway, I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Sounds like a nice guy. I want to meet this guy. I don't know if I get a word in, but in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Just that's important. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was hevel. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, vanity, smoke, nothing was gained under the sun. So, we're going to be considering four main points this today. Four things that the world tries to get point meaningless, four things that the world is trying to get purpose and meaning from. These things are age old. This book of Ecclesiastes was written thousands of years ago. But the funny thing is that we serve an unchanging God who is always relevant and yet somehow always doing something new. Yet, these four things are still what people chase today. When people are asking themselves that question, how can I get purpose? How can I get meaning? How can I get direction in my life? What plans and dreams should I have? These are the four things. If you're taking notes, write them down. We will cover each of them in detail. But these are the four things the world chases when they try and find purpose and meaning for their life. Pleasure is the first one. That's the one we've just read the scripture about. I refuse my heart no pleasure in verse 10. Pleasure is the first one. The second thing the world tries to chase is work. They immerse themselves in their work and what they do, climbing the corporate ladder. Anyway, three, power and fame. That's the third thing that people will tell you. If you get really famous or if you become a political leader, you're going to have some purpose and meaning in your life. And the fourth thing is wealth, money. Money. Anyway, let's take a deeper look at the first one. The consideration of pleasure. I want to title this little bit of my message, Chasing the Good Life, and ask the question, can I find purpose in pleasure? This is what the writer of Ecclesiastes was saying. Now, if you noticed in that scripture we just read, this guy had slaves, he had personal singers, he had a harem, he had gardens, he drank, ate, made merry, had a really good life. And yet he said it was all meaningless. But we are seeing this question from the book of Ecclesiastes, can I find purpose and pleasure by chasing the good life? Well, I'd like to take a look at Ecclesiastes 7 verse 4, which goes into this a little bit deeper as well. And it says, a wise person thinks about death, but a fool thinks only about having a good time. You know, there's in Ecclesiastes, probably most of you have probably never heard of that name, or maybe you've heard of it but never really gone there. But there is one section of Ecclesiastes that everyone will know, and that's Ecclesiastes 3. And that talks about, you know, there's even songs that have been written about it. There is a time for everything, you know, and it's like a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to die, a time to live, a time to... And it just goes on with all these seasonal things that you can fill your life with. And, you know, it's... In there, it kind of shows that, you know, there is nothing wrong with having times of pleasure and enjoyment, provided you don't break any of God's laws in doing so, but recognize that there is an appropriate time for everything. Ecclesiastes is trying to say it's not healthy to live in the space where your whole life is built around chasing the good life, finding purpose and pleasure. At the end of the day, you'll find that that's meaningless, empty, and even if you take it to the absolute extreme, like this king in Ecclesiastes did, you will find that it doesn't satisfy. You know, he's considered the pursuit of pleasure to give his life meaning. He lived it out to the max, more than you and I could ever probably do. But he concludes that when you're trying to find satisfaction for your soul, meaning for your life, purpose, by chasing these finer things, that ultimately it's going to not bring you a sense of worth, a sense of meaning, a sense of, you know, that you're living out your life's purpose. The second way that people in this world, apart from God, try to get purpose and meaning for their life is by climbing the corporate ladder. And I want to ask the question, can I find purpose in work? Can I find purpose in work? Well, you know, we all kind of do this on a subconscious level. You know, like if I was meeting Chris for the first time, I'd be like, hey, Chris. No, I wouldn't, because I'd meet him for the first time. Hey, hey, mate. I'm Barry. Who are you?
Chris.
And then Chris would ask. It would probably say something along the lines of, because he doesn't know me. Like, oh, second question. So, what do you do for work? Isn't it? Like, I mean, that's like question number two. Or what do you do? Or, you know, it's not like, who are you? What's your religion? What's your social economic level, your background, your culture? Like the second question that all of us go to is, so, what do you do? You know, we all find some degree of identity and meaning and purpose from our job or from what we devote most of, and I mean, you should, because you're devoting most of your waking hours to that endeavor, whether you're a singer, a blue-collar worker, like whatever you do, you find some sort of identity in what you spend most of your waking hours trading your precious time for at these jobs or growing your own business. You know, our chosen field of work gives us a narrative of who we are, what we're good at, and, you know, it does kind of, I think, mold you to a certain extent. And again, there's nothing wrong with working, I'm not saying that, and contributing positively to our society and community and families. The Bible praises people for being diligent and studious and working hard, but when it comes to finding that overarching purpose, that plan, that meaning for why you're here and what life is all about, I'm telling you, if you climb the corporate ladder and you get to the top and you're there in the Perth CBD looking out at it all from the top of the BHP building, you'll have this uncanny feeling inside you of emptiness. Let's take a look at it from the cynic's perspective. So the cynical voice of Ecclesiastes in Ecclesiastes 2, 18 to 23, and I chose the voice translation for this one because I just feel it really hits home. So I began to hate all the hard work I'd done under the sun, because I would eventually have to leave it all to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether my heir will be wise or foolish? Still, he will inherit all the things for which I've worked so hard here under the sun, the things for which I became wise. You know, you get so skilled and you build up your abilities and you become the best accountant that the world's seen, and you amass all this wealth. You became so wise, but this too is fleeting, like trying to catch hold of a breath. So I turned these thoughts over in my mind and despaired over how hard I worked under the sun. Although someone with wisdom, knowledge, and skill works hard, when he departs this life, he will leave all he has accomplished to another who has done nothing to deserve work's reward. This too is fleeting, and it causes great misery. What exactly do people get out of all their work and all the stresses they put themselves through here under the sun? For every day is filled with pain, and every job has its own problems, and there are nights when the mind doesn't stop and rest, and once again, this is fleeting. Okay, so working hard and trying to find purpose in your work, climbing the corporate ladder, that might leave you feeling empty. What about another way that the world tries to, you know, get some kind of purpose, some kind of meaning, some kind of like dream and aspiration? The recognition of others, that's something that a lot of people chase. You know, what about like if you become the next Donald Trump and you wield some political power and you have your reality TV show and you build a skyscraper in the middle of Perth CBD and you name it after yourself, you know, the Moeke Tower or something like that, you know? Or maybe you become a famous movie singer or a movie star or a singer or a novelist or a famous dancer. You know, will this give you some kind of meaning and purpose if you rise to the top of it all and you're known by millions, you're like a household name, like, Keeping Up with the Johns or something like that, some reality show, I don't know. But you recognize wherever you go, but... You know, will that give you purpose and meaning in this life? I want to look at rising to prominence. Can I find purpose in politics or fame? Can I find purpose in politics or fame? Maybe if you become the next Elon Musk, the next Lady Gaga, the next PewDiePie, Jenna Marbles, YouTube star, Kim Kardashian, will you find meaning in your life? You know, will that nagging sense of there's got to be more to this life go away? I've got a short video to show you guys. It's from one of my favorite rappers, NF. He is a Christian. And he speaks briefly about, so he grew up in quite a lower middle class family, and his mom was a drug addict. And she ended up committing suicide when he was 18. And he always had all this anger and this stuff that he was just trying to deal with and work through because of how tough his life had been. And so what he decided was he was like not going to let this define his narrative, and he was going to rise to be like one of the best rappers out there. He actually had a song that went platinum. It got played on the top of Billboard, Let You Down, and he had these sold out tours across the world. And in this clip, it's only about 3 minutes, but I want you to just see how he explains how he felt when he got there, and just to see like, okay, so climbing, you know, rising to prominence, becoming well known, everyone sort of knows about you, loves your music, millions of people adore you. Is that going to satisfy? Check out this video, church, right now. Let's check it out.
Everyone in life is looking and searching for something, even if you don't know exactly what it is. Whether it's God or it's you're trying to figure out your job, or you're trying to figure out who you are, or who you want to be, do you want to get married? Do you want whatever? Like every single person, every person in this room, every person in life is like working towards something. And I think one thing I would tell a lot of people, one of the most depressing times of my entire life in the process of writing this album was like after I dropped Perception, and then I was touring, and I was doing all these interviews, and I got a number one on Billboard. It was great timing for me when I put it out. But still, I ended up getting a number one on Billboard, and everything, and my tour sold out. Like, I was doing all these things that I dreamed of my whole life. I just did not feel happy about it. And I think that's one of the lowest, that was the lowest point of my whole life, because I think it'd be like your whole life, maybe you had this dream, even if you didn't understand what it looked like. Like, and a lot of people can say, I want to be an artist, I want to do shows, I want to do touring. But you don't really know what that is until you start doing it.
Well, it's like what Biggie said, right? More money, more problems.
Yeah.
So once you achieve that status, more problems come with that.
Yeah, and there's different kinds of problems. Some people Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really talk to a lot of artists, so I don't really know. But some of the artists I have talked to, like, mental health's like a serious thing. Mm. You know, like, it's a struggle that I think a lot of people have, and music's always been an emotional place for me to write. So you just hear about it a lot in mine. The lowest place I've ever been, touring and doing all that and not feeling anything, and that's what's so interesting about it is I feel like everybody's chasing that thing that I've been chasing my whole life, except I arrived at it. And I think other people do that too. They're like, hey, I'm going to get this job, and I'm going to save money, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a house,
yeah.
I'm going to have a kid, I need to save up so I can get this house, oh, we're going to need this kind of car for this, and like all this stuff. And it makes sense. I'm not like knocking that. I do the same thing. I'm not saying you wouldn't smile or be happy if someone came today and was like, hey, here's $2 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying,
I'm thinking about.
I'm saying like 5 months from now, if money's no longer like an issue for you, and to some extent it'll always, there's a lot of things like more money, more problems can become a thing. But like 6 months from now, if you didn't have to work anymore, this all sounds so positive, so this is going to sound so weird, but if you achieved your goal, or let's say you weren't even given it. Let's say you your whole life you were trying to be a musician, or you were trying to write a book, and you're like, if I could just get the number one selling book, and then you put out a book finally after years and years of work, and it went number one, and you have this little moment of joy or happiness, and then it kind of like went away very quickly. You, at least for me, I was just kind of left sitting there like, well, what else?
Right.
Either.
Pretty hectic. I mean, even him, he's a Christian, and he, I don't know where he's at. I mean, I don't know him personally, but, you know, he asked that question, what else is there? He'd had this dream of rising to fame, and he had all these dreams, and then he's going to have a certain amount of money, and now he wants to have sold out tours and everyone to know his single, and gets there, and it's like, if that was the only thing that he was finding, his purpose and his meaning in life, you know, what do you do when you get there? You know, it sounds a lot like what he says there when he says, what else is there? Is sounds a lot like Hevel, everything is Hevel. Everything seems like smoky, like meaningless, like futile, like a breath of vapor, hard to grasp, empty at times, hard to understand, a chasing after the wind. But let's take a look at what Ecclesiastes says about this, about being famous, about gaining a lot of power, about leaving some sort of lasting legacy. If I make a name for myself, you know, will that bring me purpose in my life? And I think it's in perfect harmony to the video that we just watched. Ecclesiastes 4:13-16, reading from the Living Bible. It is better to be a poor but wise youth than an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. Such a lad could come from prison and succeed. He might even become king, though born in poverty. I kind of feel like that's what NF's done. He's come from sort of, maybe not abject poverty, but kind of low income. You know, working a job at like a hamburger joint, I think, is where he started out. And then he's become this sort of, he's doesn't need to work anymore. He's you know, got to the top of his everything that he's ever wanted and achieved. He might even become king, though being born in poverty. Everyone is eager to help a youth like that, even to help him usurp the throne. He can become the leader of millions of people and be very popular. But then, the younger generation grows up around him and rejects him. So again, it is all foolishness chasing the wind. I mean, he's only going to be there as long as his music's popular. So, yeah, interesting point to ponder. You know, you'll realize if you pursue fame and power that it's not all it's cracked up to be. But you'll soon be hit with reality. It's meaningless at the end. After you die, you might be famous for a while, but, you know, what will it really matter? You're not even around to enjoy it. And there's a great possibility that the next generation will forget all about you and what you were known for. I mean, I had so many pop idols that I used to look up to in the 90s, and you'd say their names to the kids of today, and they're like, oh, who's that? Never heard their music. And they're like, no, man, that was awesome. That was like my high school dance. That was awesome. And they're like, oh, mate, that's, yeah. And, you know, we've all had that experience of something that we thought was awesome, something that we thought was so cool, and then it just, like, it just disappears from everyone's memory, and the next generation comes, and it's like it never happened. And then the last one that I want to look at when you're trying to get purpose from this world apart from God is making it rain. Making it rain. Can I find purpose in riches? I had to use making it rain. I mean, we had a rapper and everything, so we got to talk about making it rain. So, you know, we hear hear it spoken about this area pretty much every week. It's just part of our culture. And, you know, during our tithes and offering segment, but didn't Andrew do a great job, by the way? I mean, that was just so cool. But I mean, I think the main thing is we live in a culture where everyone is chasing money, everyone's chasing riches, and scripture actually has a lot to say about it, because it's ultimately, if you're chasing money instead of God, it's a heart issue, not a money issue. You know, Ecclesiastes has a real wealth of teaching surrounding money, pun intended. I believe this is because of the way that money can so easily be a stronghold, have a grip on our lives, and ultimately take the place of God on the throne of our hearts. The scripture I want to look at in particular is Ecclesiastes 5, 8 to 15. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is hevel. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing with their nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't take it with you. There's no trailer on the hearse. I've said that before. I'm sure that all of you can see from the scriptures today that if you try and find meaning and purpose in this life apart from God, from the things under the sun, as Ecclesiastes calls it, you will be disappointed. You know, and I would now want to move to, like, okay, so if that's the case, where do we as Christians get our meaning, get our purpose, get our worth, get our dreams, our life's plans from? You know, I think that Jesus' disciples were trying to boil down the purpose of life down to like a single way of living or pursuit of life. You know, when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Because it's like, if you've got God in the flesh there and you're like, God, what is the most important thing for me to do with my life? How can I find purpose and plans in my life? What's the greatest commandment? And his response in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, Jesus replied like this. So they said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this brings me to my final take-home point today. And that's serving Jesus. Can I find purpose in following God? Can I find purpose in following God? You know, pursuing all of these four areas that we've considered today, it's going to leave you empty because they are self-serving. They're absent of the love that Jesus spoke of. They're absent of this greatest commandment is love. Not only loving God, and there's a whole lot of actions that stem from loving God, but loving others. I mean, how are you loving others by, you know, amassing a crazy amount of wealth or by just living for pleasure the whole time on some yacht on a private island? Or, you know, where the love for God, his laws, and his plans for your life is absent, you know, love for others would also be absent if you chase any of those four things. But you will find true purpose and satisfaction for your life, strangely enough, when you lay your own dreams and aspirations down and you pick up that cross of service, that cross of love and care that Jesus has for you to outwork. When you put God, His kingdom, and other people first, you find a deep satisfaction and purpose, deeper than any of these other pursuits could ever give you. But won't you be missing out on life? I know that's like what a lot of people are like, oh, if you're just like going to put those things aside and you're just going to chase God's kingdom and build that rather than your own, won't you be missing out on life? Well, I like what Jesus also says in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I love that. Like, God's like, don't worry. If you decide to put me first and you chase my things, I've got you with all the other things that you could chase in this life. And then Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The pursuits of heaven are eternal. You know, getting involved in and building the things of Jesus means that you're working for something that will still exist even when you die. If you just build your little whole life, once you're gone, it's gone. You know, but if you build something like the kingdom of God, bringing people into the knowledge of Jesus, changing lives and families that are turning away from, you know, drug addiction and all this dysfunctionalism because of Jesus coming into the picture, I mean, that's making lasting differences, you know, that are going to be echoing through eternity. These are things that are not fading, things that are not meaningless, things that have substance, things that are not hevel, things that are not smoke. Find your true purpose in Jesus. Let me encourage you today, church. Leading people to freedom and truth, rescuing them from the darkness, finding true meaning by serving others rather than building your own empire, chasing after the wind. You know, my final passage of scripture that I want to read today is, as I bring this whole series to a close, it's found in Ecclesiastes, but interestingly enough, it's not the words of the teacher or the cynic, this old like sort of man who's like, I've done all these things and I've seen it's meaningless. It's not his words, but it's included. It's like tagged on like a bonus at the end of Ecclesiastes. Some Bible scholars think that this conclusion that's tagged on to the end may have been written even a good number of years after the rest of the book was written. Like, this book was just circulating and everyone was kind of mulling over the wisdom that it had to share. And then this sort of little conclusion was written at the end, almost like, well, that's good and there's a lot of wisdom there, but there's a little bit I've got to say to sum it up. Nonetheless, it does serve as a great way to sort of, you know, wrap things up. When you're feeling that your life is a bit smoky, a bit difficult to grasp, and, you know, that things are feeling a little bit empty, and you don't really know how to go about living out in a God, living your life in a godly manner and living with godly purpose, let me encourage you to look at the words of Ecclesiastes 12, 9 to 14. So not only was the teacher wise, that's the guy, the cynic, the teacher, some translations say the preacher. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs or wise teachings. The teacher served to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. So we can be certain that if we read the book of Ecclesiastes, that it's upright and true wisdom inspired by God. The words of the wise are like goads. I won't go into goads too much, but goads are an implement that you use to prod sheep or cattle or donkeys to go in the right way. As a shepherd prods the animals to go to the way that the shepherd wants them to go, in the same way Jesus prods us with a goad to go where He wants us to go. Anyway, the words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son or daughter, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Andrew actually sent me a link on Spotify to a pretty cool song that sums up this. It actually says, the conclusion of what we've just heard is fear God and keep his commands. And it's kind of like goes on, and it's all about this last little chapter of Ecclesiastes. Anyway, now that all has been heard, here's the conclusion of the matter. So lean in, church. Lean in. This is how we find purpose, meaning for our life. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So fear God and keep his commands. Jesus tells us the greatest of these commandments is to love God and love others. Our mission statement as one church, two locations, C3 Fremantle, C3 Wellard, is love God, love each other, and love the community. I think that mission statement perfectly sums up the complexity of purpose, because love ultimately is what, you know, when you exercise love, putting others first, pursuing the kingdom of Jesus rather than building your own kingdoms of pleasure, work, fame, power, and wealth, that's where you find true meaning, true purpose, is in the things of God. I know I have. I know I did. I had almost a 10-year career in the, you know, trying to chase the corporate ladder and trying to find purpose and meaning in my work, and I found that exactly what Ecclesiastes said is it's meaningless. The only true wisdom that you can find, the only true purpose you can find for your life is in Jesus Christ and in loving others and loving him and loving his kingdom. The conclusion of what we've just heard is fear God and keep his commands, the greatest of which is love. Thank you, church, for hearing me out. That's the end of our the end of the word today. But I just want to take a moment. We've got a few minutes left. If you feel like this message moved you, you feel like, Lord, I have been trying to live according to your purposes and your plans, but I feel like you've maybe got more for me, that maybe, Lord, I need your direction, I need you to speak to me, to shine your light on me of yes, love others, love your kingdom, build your kingdom, but what does that look like for me? You know, God's given each and every one of us unique talents, unique giftings, and unique ways that we fit into the body of Christ and that we fit into our communities and that we can reach. You know, I can only reach certain kinds of people with the message of Jesus. Allison can only reach certain kinds of people. Sean can reach different people, but we all can reach different people to each other. And if we're all doing that, reaching people in our own unique giftings and talents, you know, the world is better off for it, because the light of Jesus is shared and growing and just people are walking according to their purpose. So if you're here today and you're like, Lord, I need more of that. I need more of your direction and your purpose and